to the adventure on Putnam on W4CY Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the adventures of Hype Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station. Here's your host, the Hype Man.
This is the Pipe Man here on the Adventures of Pipe Man W4CY Radio, and I'm really honored about our next guest, and you listeners are going to love this, and we're going to bring to his show here on the Adventures of Pipe Man, Robert Berry. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing phenomenal. You know, I want to start off right off the bat because you have this cool story, and I think by telling the story of how we led up to the newest music, it'll give our listeners an idea of who you are if they don't already know already, which they should. So tell me the story.
I get it.
Tell me the story how three basically came to life and what made it change to 3.2 and like everything in between.
Okay. Well, everything. Well, I've been married twice, have two kids. No. You know, right this very, I'm in my recording studio, which is called Soundtech. It's Campbell, California, right in the middle of Silicon Valley here. Everything, I mean, eBay's three blocks down the street. Netflix is half a mile down. Everything's here, right? And I had a local band called Hush, did pretty well. We are a popular band. And right here, where I'm talking to you, I get a call from Carl Palmer.
Wow.
John Kalodner, Gevin Records, played me your cassette tape. I really like it. I'd like to talk to you about either getting into Asia or starting a new band. So I'm trying to make it quick. There's so much to tell. I was blown away. I didn't think it was Carl to start with, of course. But, you know, right here in Campbell, in the middle of Silicon Valley. You expect the CEO of Netflix to call you, but not Carl Palmer. So Carl and I tried to start a band. Didn't work out with a few people, so Steve Howe heard it, wanted me to play with him in GTR. So I joined GTR. I was living over in London then. Had a little bit of trouble with the singer, not liking the lone American me, having so much say-so and writing the songs and everything. So I quit that because I was harassed, basically. The day I was flying back home, my manager, Brian Lane, says, Keith Emerson wants to have lunch with you. He likes your cassette tape. I hate cassette tape. So I have lunch with Keith. I was a little worried about it because I thought he wouldn't be able to complete a sentence. You know, mad genius keyboard player. He'd talk in riddles and rhyme. He was the coolest guy. Funny, easygoing. He only had one question at the end of this two-hour lunch. He is, Robert, if we did start a band and we do this album, I'm thinking, oh, boy, here we go. He wants the first male child, right? Would you mind if we play? Yeah, well, I didn't know. This is Keith Emerson, the king.
I'm laughing because that's so true, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sitting there with the guy that's the best in the world, has a great reputation and everything. I'm finding that he's funny. He's easygoing. He's really a cool guy. But then he says, well, I got one question. I'm thinking, oh, boy, I misjudged this. He goes, if we did tour, would you mind playing a couple of ELP songs? I thought, that's it? What am I going to say, no?
Yeah, right? So, that's a pretty good condition.
Yeah, so your legacy is only going to make this new band that much bigger. I mean, hello, yeah, of course. He had a big smile, he's happy. We did an album. Geffen sort of rushed it through with us. We had a couple of really great things on it, and a couple that were, Geffen Records was grooming me for a Bryan Adams meets Sting kind of guy, kind of straight rock with creativity in it. And some of those songs wound up on the 3 album, which weren't really right for Keith, Carl, and I, because we were a more progressive band. But we did have a top 10 hit with Talking About, a song that I wrote, and we did have a successful tour. Then the ELP fans, the true Keith Emerson fans, started criticizing him really heavy. Two guys in particular said, I can't believe you had scantily clothed women, girl background singers. Huh. And that didn't bother me. I mean, why would they? Why do two guys say that? Right? Why would they worry about scantily clad background singers, even though they weren't? But the pressure for Keith was not good. He sort of folds that kind of thing, and he didn't want to do it anymore. So we broke up. For 27 years, I wanted to do a follow-up album. This Frontiers Records, a great label out of Italy, wanted me to do a follow-up album. I wouldn't even talk to Keith about it, even though we had done a lot of things in between. He played in some projects I was producing. We did a TV commercial, all kinds of stuff. Just stayed friends. But then a guy opened up a Facebook page for 3, and this guy, Rolf made 3 kind of acceptable to the ELP fans, and they started jumping on that site. And I thought, well, now's the time to ask Keith. And Keith, look what's happening. So to make it a short story, which is already long, Keith said, well, I'd be interested in that. You know, like all of us, needed to make a living. We got the record contract. He got great money. I got great money. We got artistic control. We started working on it. And I'll tell you right here, I'm in right in my control room at the studio. I have a piano here. You can hear it.
I love
Keith
it.
Keith and I would work this way. We'd work this way in the phone, you know, and I'd play, well, Keith, what about, how about we do something like, yeah, real simple. And he'd go, well, yeah. And he'd play something saying, yeah, well, let's do this. I go, okay, all right. And so we wrote this way, just like you and I are talking now. It's not like it used to be. We could write a song right now. It's like we're in the same room. So we did that. This was his happy place. He was creating music. He got a good advance coming from the record company. We have a longstanding friendship that he felt safe with. He knew that a gentle soul, I'm not going to cause him any trouble, because he had a lot of problems, the road crew guys, band members, all kinds of things. But I didn't know that he had so many problems at home. And not to go into those problems, but in the middle of us doing this album, he committed suicide. Devastating to the world, especially devastating to me, losing my most famous friend, the only guy I had a top 10 song with, the new album I had dreamed about doing for 27 years, and just a wonderful guy who was all about music, which was important to not only me, but so many other people. So I couldn't finish the album. It took me about a year. I was talking to his son, Aaron Emerson, and saying, I got this stuff, and should I finish it? He goes, yeah, you know, you should finish it. And a few other people said, finish it. So I finished it up myself, and at the point it was done, the record company said, we want to put it out. It's really good. I just didn't know if I should do it or not. Again, Aaron Emerson gave me the confidence to do it. I put it out, or Frontiers put it out, and it did really, really well. So well that they wanted me to do another one, which is why you and I are talking this time around.
The new one
is Third Impression. It's coming out now, and there's so much happened in between 1988 for the first 3 album and 2017, the 3.2, which stood for Keith and I doing it by ourselves, the two of us, instead of Carl being involved because he was doing something else. And also the second version of 3 and the second album in the series, it kind of had all kinds of meanings.
Wow. You know, that's why I wanted you to tell the story, because, you know, I think the listeners need to hear that story, because it definitely, it's wild. And for somebody like me, okay, so a little bit of my story short, you know, luckily I'm born in 66, but luckily I had a brother that was 11 years older than me. And I used to go and steal his ELP albums when I was a little kid. And that was my first introduction to music, was ELP and Yes and that type of stuff, without even like knowing about it. Was just stole the albums from my brother and listened to him, and he never knew. Like I kept him. And years later, I think it was like 2 years ago. Me and him were sitting somewhere, and I'm like, you know, I used to always steal your albums. That's how I got so into music, and that's probably why I'm in radio today.
What a great story, though, to be influenced, especially when you sort of worship the older brother, too. So what he's doing, you want to know what that is, right? So you
nah, he was kind of a jerk. That's why I wanted to steal his albums. Now it's a lifelong, music's like the biggest passion anybody that tells you, and it's because of those beginning days. And of course, you know, my music tastes evolve, so I still like that. But then I went to all different other types of genres and just a love of music itself. So when John sent me over to set up an interview for this, you know, and I do a lot of interviews, like it took me like a nanosecond to say, yeah, let's set this up, because this is just history in the making is what it is, and a great story.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that Keith and I had written most of the songs for the album out 2 years ago. The rules have changed, but there was one song left called Never. It was just almost 9 minutes. It was too long. It was too much song. It just didn't fit on that album because it was so much. I thought, well, we just won't use it. One of the reasons Frontiers wanted this album is because I have this one song left that Keith and I did together. We wrote it together, and this is the third in the 3 series, even though it's 3.2. And it's the last one, and the song is called Never. It'll never happen again, although that's not what the lyrics are about. But this is it for Keith and my partnership and the sound that developed as 3. This is all I have. There's nothing left. So it's a pretty important album to me. It's bittersweet in a way, because having that song and working this album sort of kept him alive and in the music that I'm creating, you know. And now I have lots of ideas and things I want to do, but this was the most special part of my life musically, to work with him and to do the work that the music we did. If you've heard any of the album, or even the last album, there's some tremendous Emerson stuff on there, but the songs really came together probably the way the first album should have come together in 1988, more working together and more, you know, more mixture of all kinds of music, you know.
Well, here's what I found when I was listening. Like, I loved it, first of all, and it was definitely reminiscent of back in the day, you know, in the 70s and stuff like that. However, but it still had the updated, which some bands can't accomplish, some artists can't accomplish, the updated 2021 way of music. You know, like, there's some things that maybe were great in the 70s that may not work today if they just stayed 70s. But you successfully combined that nostalgic, iconic type of music with today's modern music that people would want to listen to today, a whole new generation of fans that maybe would have never heard it in the 80s or the 70s or any other time like that.
Well, that's quite a compliment. And I got to tell you, Keith and I had set parameters to try to do that, but you never know, because it has to come out naturally, which all these did. You know, they just came out of us. And then, of course, when he's gone, they came out of me. If it's going to be an honest, true to the heart album, you have to just let it flow out. You can't preconceive, oh, I'm going to write a song like Foreigner now. You know, you can't do that kind of stuff. It has to be what you are. And for you to say that, you know, I think that's the most important part of what we wanted these albums to be. We wanted to pay tribute to our past, but bring it into the now. And of course, now Pipe Man, like the pipe part of it, that's not a smoking reference, is it?
No, you know, everybody says that. That's so funny. So, of course, my last name is Piper. So before I was ever in radio, I had a nickname way back called Pipe Man. So, one day on the radio, somebody that was co-hosting with me that didn't even know that came out of nowhere and called me Pipe Man on the radio, and it just kind of stuck. And now even even my kids call me Pipe Man now.
Oh, that's classic.
Yeah, right?
I was just wondering, because when you make a comment that's so kind and that you listen to the album, you think you hear that kind of stuff, I'm thinking, well, was he straight when he listened to the album? How do I judge this comment, you know?
Well, I was straight when I listened to it, but I'm sure if I get stoned and listen again, it's probably going to be even better.
Oh, man.
You know, that good stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. Like, first of all, I think it's amazing that you were convinced to do this, because what a shame if you didn't. And I think it's such a legacy, you know, a tribute to the greatness of the music. And, like, what an honor. I mean, I'm sure he's up there looking down and smiling that, you know, this is going out to the world, especially in a time where people need music most, more than ever.
Yeah, you know, I always feel like, since I wasn't as aware, I knew he had some home problems. We talked about a few things, but I didn't realize some of the stuff that was going on. That if he would have had the wildest notion of how successful The Rules of Change, the previous album, would have been, and that it'd be so successful, the record company almost forced me to do a follow-up, you know?
Yeah.
They really wanted it, that it would have changed a little bit of that despondency that, you know, we don't know what leads to suicide. That's like this dark hole that we can't understand. No matter what anybody says about it, this person is in that dark hole, you know? And I can't help but think that if he would have felt the success of this, and that people loved his writing and the sound of what he played, and it would have changed things. And it's been a tough thing for me to deal with the whole time, because I feel a responsibility to get these out and to talk about that, you know, he still had it. He could still play. You know, he had an operation on his arm, and this made it harder for his right hand. It was painful and stuff, but my God, he could still play incredible, better than anybody. He could play better than anybody with one hand, let alone two hands.
Yeah.
You know?
True musician.
He just still had everything. Everything that made him, that made him Keith as far as musical, he hadn't lost anything, just a little dexterity in the right hand. And that wasn't the reason. People say, oh, he couldn't play. People criticized him. That's not the reason that he left us. You know, there was other things involved, and he was just too despondent about that other stuff.
Hey, listen, it's a big subject that is finally coming out now, you know, and the tortured souls of so many, like, totally creative people. It's always the most creative people that are the most tortured souls, unfortunately. And, you know, it's been happening often enough lately that at least people are taking notice, and there's maybe going to be some help for the future generations of musicians.
You know, especially these lockdowns have been real, that suicide rate is way up, and I don't want to make this negative or anything, but we need some joy, and music certainly is the joy, and once we can get out and play again, the vaccine's here, it's not going to be long till we can get out and play, at least the small venues, and that's going to bring a lot of happiness, and the feel of freedom, you know, instead of locked in your house and worrying about all this stuff.
Oh, no doubt. It's tough. And people don't realize how tough it is on musicians because you're used to being out on the road. You're used to being out with crowds of people performing and all that. And it's kind of, I don't think people understand what a weird trip it would be to just be isolated and quarantined as a musician for that long.
You know, we can write, we can record, we can do, of course, I have a studio. It's easy for me. But even at home, people can do some decent recordings. Think about the road crew guys, the lighting guys,
yes,
the sound companies. They can't do anything but clean their equipment or look at it, you know, nothing. And they have really suffered in the entertainment industry, and that's really important that we get back out there to support them, too.
We at the station support an organization called Save the Stages, which is for all those people. You know, a lot of people don't realize how many cogs are in the wheel that make this music business happen and how many people are affected by this whole thing going down.
Yeah.
Just like you said, the road crew, you know, like they're like one of the most important people, but, you know, we have to let people know how important they are because they need our help more than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I have the guy, Peter Roberts is a sound guy for REO Speedwagon. He used to be the engineer here at Soundtech in my studio, and he's coming down. He's doing a few updates to my Neve console I have. And, you know, I ask him about it. He goes, there's just nothing going on. You know, and he's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah, anyway, but it's going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and everybody will pull together. I was just watching something on the news last night, like a famous club in New York that's a jazz club. It is on the brink of closing. That's been around forever, and they did a benefit concert, I think it was last night, to raise money to keep it open. And I think we need that for all of the venues out there because there's some iconic venues that were probably even around back in the 60s and 70s that, you know, God forbid they don't survive this.
Yeah, and I want those venues to survive too because I did a tour last year with my 3.2 band that was very successful, 27 cities, and I got a lot more to do with this music and bringing it out to people. And if the smaller places, they disappear, you know, the 250 to 1,000 seat places, all us guys that want to bring it right to the, you know, I want to play the smaller places and shake people's hands, which is illegal right now, I think. But, you know, and thank them for letting me to play music all these years and support myself. I really need to get out there and say, hey, this isn't, I'm just don't take this for granted. Your support for me has made my life just as good as it could ever be. And if we lose, like B.B. King's closed, we played B.B. King's, it's gone. You know, it's been gone a couple of years, I think. But it was a perfect size venue to like get right up in people's face. And it'll change. It'll come back around. Something always happens and sometimes changes for the better. Other times it's like, oh, it's too bad. But I think it's going to be all good once we get going. We're all going to appreciate it, which is really important.
Agreed. I think people will appreciate it more than ever now. And my grandmother always said the only thing constant in life is change. So there you go. So
very wise woman.
Let's tell everybody how they can connect with you on the web, on social media, how they can get the new album, Third Impression, which drops on February 12th via Frontiers Music. So give us all the info.
Well, of course, there's a robertberry.com website, www.robertberry.com. It'll lead you to an ordering instead. You can get on Amazon. You can get the album being everywhere. The Frontiers does a fantastic job of putting these things out and making it happen. You know, there's a couple of Facebook pages really great. There's a 3 Emerson Berry Palmer Facebook page, and there's a 3.2 Facebook page, and it has a lot of the tour photos and people talking about even what happened back in 1988 during that tour with Keith, Carl, and I. And they're pretty informative and really good people on there. They're, you know, it's not politics and a bunch of crappy people. they're good people. And I get on there myself. I've seen so many pictures that I've never seen in my life of Keith, Carl, and I on those sites. It's just, it's fun for me, and I'm the guy in the band, you know?
I love it. Love it. Well, everybody, make sure to check it out. Badass, Third Impression, 3.2, February 12th. Don't miss out, because this is going to be one of those legendary albums that, you know, I know my grandkids will be talking about it. It's going to be that iconic.
Well, that'd be good.
There you go.
That'd be cool.
Well,
and you know, there is YouTube also. There's two videos for this if you want to check it out. The first one was Fond Farewell. The second one is A Bond of Union, and that's about my parents, and hopefully you find your parents in it. And it's been out a couple of weeks now. It's actually doing really well. People are giving a great comments that, wow, this really brought me back to the sacrifices my parents made. And some say even the sacrifices I'm making for my kids. And then there'll be another video on the 12th for the third song. So when the album comes out, so there's lots to look at.
Love it. Love it. Thanks for, you know, putting this out really from deep down in my heart. And thanks for being on the Adventures of Pipe Man.
Well, Pipe Man, I appreciate it. You are really great to talk to, and I'll talk to you again.
Ditto.
Hey, this is Robert Berry, and you're listening to Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.